This is Mornings with Kale in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
All right, count me in as a big, huge fan of the Terry Ranch Aquifer Project. I thought it was brilliant from the get-go, but let's just say not everyone agreed with me. 707 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gale from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. But that Terry Ranch Aquifer Project in Greeley, a go after last night's city council meeting, and it was a rather lengthy one at that. A lot of public comment relative to the Terry Ranch project, joined this morning by Greeley Mayor John Gates. Mayor Gates, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Gail. Good morning. Good to be with you. I love that intro, smoke on the water.
There you go. Well,
that is classic.
It is a classic, and that is Maestro Ryan doing his job and doing it so well. So
nicely done, Ryan.
There you go, Ryan. Big shout out to Ryan Kelly this morning. So, hey, it was a long meeting for you last night, right?
It was a little longer than normal. You know, once in a while, we'll get an item such as Terry Ranch that will generate a substantial amount of input, both in writing and on the web, and then also on our YouTube channel. And last night we had that, and democracy is working pretty well. So yeah, we knew there was opposition, and they came and spoke to us last evening, and everything went really well. I applauded the entire crowd for the decorum shown.
A welcome thing, especially these days, because I spent the first hour talking about cancel culture, and now they're after Dr. Seuss, for heaven's sakes. But that's a conversation for another time. But nice to hear that people were classing it up and showing some decorum, agreeing to disagree. So take us through the backstory on the Terry Ranch Aquifer Project.
Well, this is actually just came to the forefront of the city. I was involved in a meeting back in December of 2019 when this first came up. And, you know, my thought at the time was, this sounds really unique, but it's going to take a lot of due diligence. And what we had was due diligence and then some. The city signed a contract back in June of 2020 to start that due diligence. And it's been ongoing ever since. The amount of due diligence has been really incredible. And we had some folks last night say, you know, this is too fresh. You're rushing. Take a step back. Put the brakes on. And the fact is, with 9 months to probably a total of a year due diligence, once the paperwork was first evaluated, that the city's been working on this a long time, and believe at the end of the due diligence, with no fatal flaws, after thousands and thousands of tests, that the we're ready to take this to the water board and subsequently city council. So for those that think it was quick, it was not quick at all. And I'm glad that it wasn't. Nobody's glad that it wasn't. We got the due diligence to know that this is the right thing to take forward for Greeley's residents. And while some don't feel that way, I respect that. But I'm completely confident with the expertise that we've had looking at this, that this is the right way to go, and we'll set up Greeley's water for years and years and years.
Well, and I think I had the opportunity to talk in depth with Adam Gilchrist, Deputy Director of Water Resources for the city. And it was a fascinating conversation because I was under, I think as many were, when you talk about the due diligence, we'll get into that a little bit deeper, talking about some of the concerns surrounding the aquifer project. But I thought the aquifer storage concept was a rather novel one. Come to find out after talking to Mr. Gilchrist that no, this has been done successfully in the past.
It has, and Adam spoke to some of those issues last night at the meeting, and it's pretty widely used in Arizona, California, and it provides a little better system than we have right now, although what we have is good. With our mountain streams, this is going to be a great system to augment that.
So certainly not a new concept. That's good to hear. Now, there were two members of of Greeley Water and Sewer, and correct me if I'm not naming that particular entity the right way, but two former employees that had concerns about the water quality. Top of mind, it seems, just off the top of my head, concerns about uranium in the water. Did Adam address that as well?
Yeah, that's been addressed pretty substantially over a long period of time. You know, what came out initially was that there had been some uranium detected, which, as we know now, is not unusual in water supply, and found rather quickly through a number of tests that a small amount of uranium could be filtered out real easily. The fact is that scientists and engineers told us that the water was good to drink right now, even without filtering that out, but of course we are going to filter that out through our filtering plant. And the Greeley Water that that folks know has really been great, won a national award a couple years ago, will not decline at all in quality. That's a promise that we'll make moving forward.
That's right, because we've got award-winning water right here in Greeley. We don't want to sully that reputation, right, Mayor Gates?
Yes, that's right, and we won't. We'll continue to have award-winning water.
There you go. Now, there were also some concerns about a missile silo, some runoff, I believe, from a missile silo, pollutants from a nearby missile site in Wyoming, but those concerns were found to be rather unfounded.
They were. We looked at that just like we looked at every other issue that came up, and that particular factor was pretty clearly debunked.
So where does it all go from here?
So this is not going to benefit any of us right now. This is really geared to the future. So we'll start working on the whole project, but folks need to know that our water will come from our mountain reservoirs for substantial time to come. We are in the shape that we are now primarily because of pioneers like W.D. Farr. Mm. We had his son on the Zoom last night. It was pretty interesting, but he set us up for where we are now. And what this city council and water board is really doing is setting Greeley up for the future. So this is not a situation where the water from Terry Ranch will be utilized in Greeley in the next few weeks, months, or perhaps even years, but will be a system that will serve us really well in the future. And Greeley is the envy of a lot of communities with our water storage, quality of water, and this sets us up to continue to be in that place. So it's not a direct benefit to us right now, mm-hmm. but will be down the road. Certainly not in my tenure, but we're setting folks up for the future is what we're doing.
So do you have a projected timeline?
I don't. I expect to hear that. I don't think the water department wanted to put the cart before the horse.
Sure.
But expect to see one here fairly soon. I know that'll be delineated. I don't have the data right now, but certainly when we get it, we will put that out.
Well, it certainly is exciting, particularly as we see the growth in northern Colorado, not to mention Greeley growing exponentially. And I've had the opportunity to talk to any number of water experts, and whether you build it or not, they're going to come, and that need for water is only going to increase I would say the future, but in the pretty near future as well. And it's all about planning.
It's all about planning and growth, Gail, and that's going to happen whether we like it or not. You know, I was talking to a prior city council member who, when she first heard about this, was a little bit iffy, and she did her homework and subsequently gave us a letter of her full support. But she said, and I hadn't thought about it this way, but I agree with her, that this is probably the most monumental decision that the city of Greeley's ever made.
Mm.
It's a $250 million project over 40 years, so, and it ends up being, of all the alternatives we've looked at, the least expensive alternative and the most environmentally friendly alternative. So I don't know what more we can ask, considering that the price of water is going to go up no matter what you do. But the fact is, we had a tremendous amount of difficulty getting Milton Seaman permitted. You've got the Army Corps of Engineers and countless others you have to deal with. And, you know, the city spent $19 million on that endeavor over the past number of years and had nothing to show for it. So it's time to move forward with a much more viable option, and I think we have it.
That said, Milton Seaman, not necessarily off the table, but yeah, the permitting process definitely an arduous one.
Yeah, no, it isn't off the table. Obviously, we would change course with this investment, but Milton Seaman carries benefits, but trying to get it permitted is certainly not a benefit. It is a very tedious, laborious process, and those in our system that know substantially more about water than I do say we just don't have a shot of getting it permitted, and other municipalities are facing the same thing. So I like that this alternative came up. I like that we investigated the heck out of it, and I'm pleased that we voted to go this direction.
And it was a unanimous vote, I might add.
It was a unanimous vote. I know there were some folks that spoke to us that believe that this vote should have gone to the citizens to vote for. And my response to that is, you know, we get elected to make decisions. And if those decisions are not what our citizens want, there are avenues for them to take care of that. There is a petition being circulated, I understand, to attempt to get this issue out of the hands of city council to the voters. And if that happens, I respect that. That's democracy in action. I think that just stalls the inevitable. But we're going to roll with what we know right now, going to continue to run the city and get this particular.
Greeley Mayor John Gates this morning. Mayor Gates, you still with us?
I'm with you, Gail.
Okay, you dropped out there. Now, you had talked about this petition. So can you just back us up to that point about taking it out of the hands of the city council?
I can. There's an attempt, I understand, from many that oppose this. Save Greeley's Water, I believe their name is. They're circulating a petition to try to get this issue to the voters, which would take the decision we made last night out of our hands. And my response to that is not one of anger, and I respect the democracy that's attached to that, and we'll see what happens. I think if there is a petition to take this to the voters, they're simply stalling the inevitable. I think we have a tremendous amount of support in the community for this, but for the record, I respect what the opposition's doing. That's what makes our system work.
Greeley Mayor John Gates, thanks so much for taking the time and working us through this. And again, I have been a huge proponent of this project because just in the reading that I have done, yes, it seems to me that you dotted the I's, you crossed the T's, and all the due diligence was done. As you said, you know, kicking the can on down the road by trying to put this on the ballot is only going to push the inevitable, which could be, I'm not saying necessarily will be, but could be to our overall detriment.
No question, Gail. I appreciate being with you. I hope you and our citizens will make it a great day in Greeley.
Thanks so much. Greeley Mayor John Gates. 720 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310KFKA.com. This time check sponsored by the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse in Johnstown, bringing you an absolutely incredible, uplifting, hilarious presentation of the Church Basement Ladies through March 28th. Tell you what, jump online. You want to get tickets or show information, just go to ColoradoCandlelight.com. Candlelight Dinner Playhouse, Broadway, in your backyard.
Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Think your bracket can win it all? Join the Hull Show's Bracket Challenge and hear the latest in hoops on 1310 KFKA.
So on the heels of CPAC and asking the question, is Trump, former President Trump, still in charge of the GOP? I had come across a headline that I thought was really, really funny, asking the question, well, will it be Trump Ultra, Trump Light, or Trump Zero at CPAC. Well, if you watched his speech at CPAC, he was an hour late, but I found it kind of comforting hearing President Trump once again striking those very, very familiar themes, talking about a multitude. Whether you like him or not, there were a multitude of accomplishments throughout his administration, many of which, with a stroke of a pen, President Joe Biden is rapidly canceling. Enter the cancel culture once again. But where does the GOP go from here? To say there was a little bit of infighting in the GOP family, well, that's a bit of understatement, isn't it now? Won't say there was a chasm, but there was some rather spirited discussion, debate, and disagreement when it came to members of the GOP, their support for Trump, and where the party goes from here, looking ahead to 2022 and 2024. And if you look at politics as a whole, writ large, do you believe that our political system is broken? And if so, well, what do we need to do to fix it? My one suggestion for the Republican Party is they give up that circular firing squad mentality. That might help. But Bob Beaupre, a name that you know very well, he's going to offer up some suggestions as to what the GOP needs to do to, well, get its bearings and get back on track, perhaps get its groove back. Former congressman, former Boulder County GOP chairman, two-time nominee for Colorado governor, and a bison rancher. Yeah, he's going to have a little something to say about the governor's proclamation Meet Out Day on March 20th. Bob Beaupre weighs in at 8:05. 7:30 now, 1310 KFKA.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
At 7:34, Keith Weinman, Presidential Wealth Management Inn. And, well, markets, well, they're a little confused this morning, a little bit mixed, but there is some fresh news on jobs.
There is, and we'll get more fresh news, the big fresh news on jobs this Friday. I'll tell you about that in just a minute. Look back just a couple days. Monday saw 2 and 3% gains in the three major averages. Yesterday, they gave back some of those gains, the NASDAQ dropping 1.7%, investors taking profits in the big tech stocks, the Facebook, Microsoft, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, Alphabet. And despite the rough ride, remember, the S&P 500 is up just over 1.5% so far this week, just this week, first week of March. Strength from stocks and companies that will benefit from economic reopening, economic recovery, and stimulus, industrials, financials, energy, and technology. Now, last night after the close, you probably heard Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, said there will be enough vaccine for every adult American by the end of May. That's 2 months sooner than expected, and that plays well in the stock market. Still, this morning, as Gail said, markets are mixed this morning. The Dow is down about 39 points at 31,425. S&P down 3. The NASDAQ is down 4. So no big moves. West Texas Intermediate crude oil, $60.84 a barrel. And just quickly now on that jobs news, this morning, ADP reported the economy generated 117,000 private sector jobs in February. The analysts, though, were expecting 225,000. So this is basically a disappointment. But keep in mind, ADP looks only at the private sector, and they do it in advance every month when the government jobs forecast is due to come out 2 days later. That'll be this Friday when the government releases its February jobs numbers that include the private and the public sector. Economists are expecting 210,000 jobs and unemployment holding steady at 6.3%. So that will be the big number of the week and we'll have it for you here Friday morning.
Mm, sounds like a plan. All right. It's interesting because we were talking about rogue Roombas yesterday. These Roombas that, as a result of software glitches, were running around like drunken sailors. No offense to drunken sailors everywhere. But what was kind of interesting, too, was that it was kind of amusing during the interview when we were talking with Matt Rosen, who is an AI expert and, big tech and, all things along those lines, talking about, whether they indeed are taking over our lives, all of the smart devices that can get really, really dumb in our homes, or do they, when it comes to those software glitches. We had a little bit of a glitch yesterday, too. Issues with our connection. But I don't know if you still have this in front of you, but one of the things that we were trying to talk about yesterday, and God love technology, everybody goes through it. I mean, we've all had our Zoom moments. Right? But you had two reasons why people were rushing to file their tax returns. Wonder if you have those on the top of your head this morning.
I do. Those two reasons are a lot of people could really use the refund that they're expecting sooner rather than later this year. And also, the sooner you file, sooner you're going to get the refund, and also the stimulus.
Mm-hmm.
There are still questions about what's going to happen with the stimulus. For most people, their income has most people, not all, but most people, their income might be slightly lower in the latest tax year than it was the year before. And whichever is the latest tax filing you have on file, that's what your stimulus check is going to be based on. Now, they're still talking about the 1,400, and there's still speculation that that number probably won't change.
Mm-hmm.
But the income numbers now, I read this morning, may tweak a little bit.
And that has been my cautionary tale the whole way through this rather long, drawn-out, contentious process, this $1.9 trillion Porkapalooza bill, in which 9% of the money will actually go to anything even remotely associated with COVID relief. But, they're talking about changing those cutoff points, right, when it comes to your adjusted gross income.
Yes, your adjusted gross income, and when you say cutoff point, you mean the point at which your stimulus check might not be the full 1,400.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, and what we're talking about here in this is kind of funky. Try to make it easy as possible to understand. What we're talking about here is your adjusted gross income in the 2020 tax year versus the 2019 tax year.
Mm-hmm.
So far, those cutoff points have been based on the 2019 adjusted gross income. Believe it or not, and we don't know whether it's going to make a difference or not, but if your income was lower in the 2020 tax year than it was in 2019, you have the power, by getting your tax return in as quickly as possible, to have that, to be under that cutoff point with your 2020 income, whereas you might not be under the cutoff point with your 2019 income.
Yeah, because AGI is $75,000 for individuals and $150,000 for couples, but that, of course, as with many things, subject to change.
Well, now I think they're back to 100 and 200. That's the latest I've read for individuals and couples. You see, so it's all over the place. It really is.
Yeah.
Here's one thing you can count on. We're expected to see a decision out of the Senate by mid-March, or a vote out of the Senate by mid-March.
Mm-hmm.
So within, 2 weeks? We'll have some actual numbers. But if you keep your ear to the rail, keep your ears to the tracks, you might be able to figure it out before then, based on what you're hearing.
Read the tea leaves, your news, so to speak.
Yeah, right. Vet your sources.
Well, at least they cut Nancy Pelosi's pet project, her subway, to nowhere. Well, it went nowhere fast. That's out of the $1.9 trillion COVID-19, the latest iteration of the COVID-19 stimulus relief bill.
That was one in the high-tech country in San Francisco?
Mm-hmm.
That one?
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about the Underground Railroad?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Cool. Okay.
Yeah, so...
You know, and if you want to, if you're still confused by all this, feel free to give me a call at my office, because I've got this stuff. And once you know, it's really not that difficult. It's a little bit difficult to explain, but
right.
if you need an explanation because you feel you're going to be on the cusp of that cutoff point, give me a call at my office at 970-776-7500, and we can walk through it. And I'll get you clear on it.
All right, sounds like a plan. Are we clear?
We're clear. Crystal.
Thank you. Keith Weinman, Presidential Wealth Management. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
7:42 now, 1310 KFKA.
Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA. UNC Bears basketball can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Steaks and burgers and bacon, oh my! Well, on everyone's mind these days, particularly the Weld County Commissioners, because, well, let's just say Governor Polis, with his meat out of proclamation, spurred them to issue a proclamation of their own, which they will do this morning, right around 9 a.m., 7:50 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310 KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gail, via the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Yep, according to a piece, we talked about this briefly yesterday, but a piece in today's Trib by Jaden Watson Fisher, the commissioners will indeed this morning proclaim March 20th as Weld County Ranching Livestock and Meat In Day. They joined the Colorado Cattlemen's Association in responding to Governor Jared Polis's proclamation last week that, well, in his opinion, March 20th should be a meat out a day in the state. It's inconceivable. That would be a day that people would forego eating meat products and only consume plant-based foods. Far be it for me to tell you what to eat. You eat what you want to eat. And, well, if there are consequences for your dietary choices, well, we've all had to suffer them, right? But no, Governor Jared Polis taking it upon himself to take another shot at the thriving agriculture industry in Weld County, in eastern Colorado, across the state, by declaring it Meat Out Day. Coloradoans across the state, needless to say, pretty well outraged by the proclamation, with some, including myself, saying that Polis is attacking agriculture. It is a full-out assault on agriculture. Weld County Commissioner Steve Moreno, chair of the Board of Weld County Commissioners, said in a press release, when Governor Polis declared March 20th as Meat Out Day, it was a slap in the face to the thousands of ranching and farm families across the state. By the way, we're going to check in with former U.S. Congressman, author, oh yes, and has a whole bunch of bison on his ranch up in Jackson County, Bob Beaupre. See what he has to say about Meat Out Day when he joins us this morning at 8:05. But meanwhile, back to Weld County Commission Chair Steve Moreno saying, yeah, this is another hit against rural Colorado. When will it ever end? Weld County leads the state in agricultural products sold. It brings in $2 billion annually. Of that revenue, roughly 85% comes from livestock, poultry, and other meat-related sales. So the commissioners cordially invite all of you, including farm and ranch families, to hear their Meet In proclamation at 9 this morning. They will read it at the board meeting at the Weld County Administration Building. That's at 1150 O Street in Greeley. Commissioner Perry Buck also weighed in on this topic, saying, "I am insulted, who isn't, by the governor's actions. My family has a long tradition of agriculture in this county. My friends, neighbors, and constituents also have roots that are very, very deep in agriculture. And to dismiss their heritage and their livelihood, it's unconscionable." Now, Colorado Commissioner of Agriculture Kate Greenberg said in a letter that, well, this is not a new idea, nor does it create an official holiday. Former Governor John Hickenlooper made a similar proclamation back in 2011. Yeah, I love how Governor Jared Polis was trying to defend this basically by saying, well, we issue proclamations all the time. Well, I'm sorry. This was a meathead proclamation, in my humble opinion. Now, you need to remember, though, this is also not a Colorado-specific initiative. Oh, no. There are much bigger powers at play. Comes as no surprise, right? Meat Out was started by the Farm Animals Rights Movement way back in 1985. This was designed to inform people of the benefits of a plant-based diet. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, right? Still, Polis's proclamation, well, let's just say it inflamed the sensitivities and evoked the ire of many, many leaders in Weld County. You had Commissioner Mike Freeman saying it would have been one thing to say he promotes a plant-based diet. Instead, he decided to perpetuate broad-based falsehoods that eating meat leads to bad health and animal cruelty. Summing it up in one word, Commissioner Freeman did, saying that's irresponsible. Now, it's kind of interesting because there are still some defenders of Governor Jared Polis saying, oh, no, his actions aren't meant as an attack on the industry. How do you perceive it? Colorado leadership, including Polis, according to some, values farmers and ranchers and other agricultural workers. Of course they do. Of course, all of them do, as they do oil and gas. But that doesn't stop them from taking shots at, the hand that feeds the state, both literally and figuratively. Some saying that it has worked to open new businesses for livestock producers, used grant money to assist local processors, and invested in local and rural communities. Livestock industry is an essential part of Colorado's past, present, and future, and no proclamation will change that. This according to Colorado Commissioner of Agriculture Kate Greenberg. Well, then why send in the scud? That's my question. 970-353-1310. 757 now, 1310 KFKA.
The Power Trip. Weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA. Which local team is going to be dancing this March? We have local and national college hoops coverage here on 1310 KFKA.
Former Congressman and Bison Boss Bob Beaupre weighs in on politics and Meat Out Day at 8:05. KFKA Greeley closing in on 8 o'clock.